time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Gotta wait for the flyover. Hey, welcome to the Pain Clinic, babies. It's a Saturday morning, and you know where you are. You're here listening to the only show that talks about the world of pro wrestling here on Fox Sports 1280 every Saturday morning. I want to welcome you to the show. It's August 22nd. Holidays today. Be an Angel Day. And I'm going to throw this one out to the guys. If I told you it's The Rock's holiday also, what would your guesses be? It's The Rock's holiday.
Pi Day?
That's 3.1. That's 314 day. No, not Pi Day. It's a good guess, though.
I don't know. That was, yeah, Poontang Pi Day was my guess. So.
Anything, Ferbs?
I got no clue.
It's National Tooth Fairy Day. Remember, he was the Tooth Fairy. All right. All right, real quick, happy birthday to precious Paul Ellering. He's 67 today. Former Harlem Heat member Stevie Ray is 62. Jimmy and Jey Uso are 35. And AEW's Pac, you might remember him as Neville in WWE, he's 34. And finally, WWE United States champion Apollo Crews is 33 today. Pink Link's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Would you like to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. And join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're interested in the men's team, it's the Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. Check them out. We're looking for everybody. Welcome to the show today. I am the Cash Man. I'm your humble host with the three squares of excellence. Joining me, we have Furby from out in the Hilton area. Furbs, how's it going today?
What's up, ladies and gentlemen?
What's up? All right. And we got the Danger from Gates, New York. He's in the top square. What's up, buddy?
Hello.
You've got a very ghostly looking of image today. I'm just going to tell you that. And right underneath him is the artiste. You might remember the artiste as Rob Sanderson. If you lived in the area, you might know him in Pittsburgh or all over the place. He is.
I feel like we could reverse that and be like, you might remember the nickname, but I'm fine with just the real name at this point. But it is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. little garlic bread.
Nice. You know what? We mentioned it a few weeks ago. If there's a way to get it, and there obviously is. We're here to talk
extra
about
crispy.
Yummy. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling today. We've got a lot of stuff going on this weekend. You know, two live events, NXT TakeOver number 30, as well as SummerSlam going on. And there's a lot of things going on right now, and that would seem like that'd be the top thing, and we're definitely going to run down each of those cards later. I'm guessing maybe a big piece of news was Renee Young coming out and saying that she put her notice into WWE and she's going to be done. And I don't know. See, she's a girl, she's pretty, and she's from Toronto. I got to love Renee Young. She's always been one of my favorite announcers, and she's very receptive on social networks. So if you tell her you love her, she like gets back to you and stuff. Not that I'm doing that or anything, but I did tell her that she was our favorite announcer on the Pain Clinic, and she did get back to me on that. But she is put in her notice, and she's taken off. And I mean, listen, she's not really doing a lot right now. She's doing the pregame show with a couple of radio doofuses from New York City, as well as she was doing the backstage, which I thought was an excellent show. But Renee Young is maybe following her husband, Renee Good, I believe is her real name. But she might be following her husband to AEW. Who knows where she's going? What do you guys think? Is this big impact, or am I just like blowing this out of proportion?
I think it's a big impact on the company is they don't know what they have with her, and she's a lot better than they give her credit for. And I, if I had to guess, I wouldn't guess she's going to AEW. I'm guessing she's going to an actual national sports company, similar to ESPN or something like that. And she's going to have a real job like she should.
Yeah, I kind of follow along the same lines as Danger there. I definitely think she's going to go away from the wrestling scene maybe a little bit right away, kind of do her own thing. You know, she came over basically from Canada, from the Sportsnet, doing like a after talk show type thing for wrestling that before she came to WWE, I believe. So I think maybe she goes more of like the Charlie Caruso route. Obviously, Charlie's over on ESPN too. So use some of her networking skills there. We'll see what happens. I think in the long run, she does end up in AEW, but not right away.
I will go out and say that Renee Young might be the most skilled broadcaster WWE has ever had. She's so smooth on the air. She's personable. She's entertaining. She's knowledgeable. She serves pretty much every purpose within that company that involves a microphone of some sort. So I think it's a gigantic loss for WWE. Curious to see what she does. I would assume it's going to be more than one thing, and nobody really knows at this point. I would love to see her end up on NHL Network. Very knowledgeable about hockey. Obviously, you mentioned, you know, she used to be with the Score and a big hockey fan. She's done some stuff with the Vegas Golden Knights. I would love to see her do AEW. I mean, I think that's something that she could do on a part-time basis. She could do that plus take over the Ellen show or, you know, any of the other million rumors out there. I think she's just very talented. I think it's a huge loss for WWE. That's not somebody that you can easily replace. So good for her. I'm looking forward to seeing what's next.
Yeah, good. I was going to say, I don't think they knew what to do with her. That's why ever since they shut down backstage, she really has been doing nothing. Now, she has been writing a cookbook, and if you follow her on Instagram, you see the videos. She, like the last couple of days, she's been taking pictures of things she's cooked for her cookbook, and that's a big deal to her, which I think is really, you know, pretty cool. She was very excited about it, and yeah, she's a huge Las Vegas Knights fan. You know, I know that she goes to a lot of games, and that I mean, she definitely and she came from Toronto, and you know, she kind of followed the same sort of path. I mean, as more of a broadcaster, but like Trish Stratus was a fashion model, but doing radio up in Toronto, and ended up getting picked up by the WWE and had a whole career. And I think same for Renee, and a power to her, you know, whatever she does. I would love to see her in AEW. Think about it. They got another show starting. They, at least they talk about it every once in a while. They did sign for another show on TNT, sorry, oops, flashback to ECW. But she could come in. Maybe she could, you know, she could do a lot of things. I mean, I don't know if she's going to want to do exactly what she was doing with the WWE, like hosting, you know, pre-shows. I think she's working this weekend, too. This might be the last weekend. Well, either that or maybe it's gotten out so much that they won't have her work. But, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of times when you put your notice in, immediately you're gone. You know, that's when, like, you start losing on your way out, as they say, you know. But she was a good employee, so.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Renee Young at SummerSlam this weekend. I mean, I know a little bit lower on the totem pole, but Kathy Kelly, I mean, I think she worked the NXT Portland event. I think that was in February. She had put in her notice, and she was doing similar work, obviously not to the level of Renee Young, but they let her kind of do her thing and get her dates in and kind of have a nice send off. So I hope they at least, you know, give Renee Young that opportunity. She has done a lot for WWE, and like a lot of us here mentioned, I don't really think they knew what to do with her, and I don't think they realize how much they will miss her when she's gone.
I think the send-off makes perfect sense, too, because maybe unlike others, whatever, like a lot of people have said, like we mentioned, like the Ellen show or whatever, like she's literally good enough to go do the Today Show or whatever, so it would be in WWE's best interest to give her a nice send-off because she's going on to bigger and better things. I think we all know that. So you might as well use that to your advantage and be like, oh, that's our alumni. Don't hide the fact that she left there. You know, embrace the fact that she was there. So
yeah, because then they could have something essentially to brag about, say, hey, that's our person. You know, that's our girl. When really, they didn't do her any justice. But
now, granted, if she goes to AEW, maybe that's a little different. Maybe they don't want to do that. But maybe they don't even know what she's going to do. So. Yeah.
I think they may know, and she's not going to AEW. And I think maybe that's why they would allow her to still work, you know, just because it's like, you know, I mean, Bret Hart, remember when he went to WCW, he really pretty much, they gave him a last chance, and they all knew he was going there. And the screw job and everything happened. I mean, it was a little bit of a flashback, but he actually spelled out WCW on the pay-per-view at the very end, you know, after the screw job and everything. I don't think there's a lot of opportunity, you know, and I think they really did love her a lot. So I think, and they're proud of her, and she probably has an open door to come back after, you know, since she's leaving, you know, and so I'm guessing she's not going to AEW, but you know what, you know, power to her, whatever she does. Maybe we'll get her on. Maybe we can find a way to get her on once she's.
Some of the rumors that are going around about why she's leaving, though, are kind of disheartening on the WWE's end, that no one reached out when she had COVID. No one from the office ever said, you know, how you doing, tried to figure out how she was or anything like that. They just held a grudge because she said she had it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and we didn't even know. I mean, she was home a week before we ever heard that she tested positive, but people started putting it together. Yeah, she must have got through it pretty easily. I'm not going to say it's easy to get through because, I mean, people are still dying from it every day. But she, you know, power to her, and you know, kudos to WWE if they do let her be on the pay-per-views this weekend. Maybe I'm not sure the NXT. I don't think she does NXT kickoff, but I know she'll do the you know, SummerSlam kickoff. It's the, you know, the second biggest pay-per-view of the year this weekend, which we're going to talk a little bit about that, the Thunderdome. The 30th takeover, a lot of things, and we're going to go to break on that right now. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with the Artiste, Danger Boy, Furby, and you. And we thank you so much for coming on, listening to us every week. Kind of an interesting week this week, that's for sure. But we got a lot of things going on. NXT TakeOver number 30 going on this weekend, this Saturday night. Head-to-head with AEW Dynamite. Saturday Night Dynamite. That's what Brody Lee was calling it. And we're going to get the main event of that show being Brody Lee versus Cody. Brody versus Cody. That's the tagline, I think, or Cody versus Brody. But we've got NXT, which is, you know, I got to tell you, watching NXT this past week, I felt that it was the best setup for a match at the very end of the show, what they did on Wednesday night. It was just a solid setup for the main event. Or not the main event. I mean, Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross is the main event, but we're going to get the... the was it five way match, is that for the for the North, was it the I forget what
the title. North American Championship.
So, but the way they set it up, it was great because everybody was involved and it was, you know, in that last match and everything, and it's going to be a great pay per view. I think a great show. You know, I mean. What do you guys – did you guys get the feel for this NXT? It's the 30th one. I mean, I know it used to be something you couldn't miss, and then I think it got watered down a little bit after they went to USA, just a little bit. But anybody have some strong thoughts on this and maybe any particular match sticking out that you're definitely looking forward to?
As far as ones that I'm really looking forward to, as you look down the card overall, it doesn't look terrible. It's definitely not one that I would – be very like to write home about. Like, it's definitely not the best NXT TakeOver card I've ever seen for being the 30th event. Obviously, you'd wish something would be bigger, like your biggest star in NXT, Adam Cole, over the last year and a half, not facing a former All-Pro punter. Like, I could.
I think that match is going to greatly surprise you, especially after Pat McAfee cut the best promo cut on NXT, not by Adam Cole, in the past year.
I mean, I don't have an issue with Pat McAfee in his mouth. He's proven that he can talk.
He's also been training with Rip Rogers for over a year on and off. He owns his own ring. He knows how to do the stuff he's going to end up doing.
So I'm going to.
I think it's going to be surprising.
I think he's going to do well in the ring, but I'm also going to agree with. I don't care about that match at all. I think Pat McAfee's a total tool, and I don't want to see him in NXT. Like, I just don't care about that match. I'm sure it's going to be good. He might do better than Dominic Mysterio the next night. I don't know, whatever. But like that, the only thing I care less about on TakeOver is Velveteen Dream. So talking about that last segment and stuff. I think it's an absolute joke that he's back, and I can't support that. And I think it's just shady as hell that Triple H says that they investigated it and they didn't really do it.
Let's talk a little bit about that just for a second. Velveteen Dream was in the what was the hashtag again?
Speaking out
hashtag, where he was.
Oh, he was before that too.
Yeah, he was accused of sending underage people photos and asking for photos, and
there are tweets out there that show both photos and audio messages from him, so screenshots and stuff. A lot of the other speaking out things were taking people's word for it, recounting their stories and stuff that didn't necessarily have the same type of potential alleged evidence.
Well, Patrick Clark, or Velveteen Dream, whatever you want to call him, he was gone for a month, and so he came back 2 weeks ago, and Triple H defended him on a conference call this past week by saying that the WWE investigated everything they got. And
except they never talked to the person who broke the story to begin with.
Yeah,
they never once talked on Twitter.
They say they were never contacted. So,
yeah. So yeah, no. And that's the point I was going to make is Triple H was confronted with that information during the press conference, and he said that, and he reiterated what he said, and he said if there's anything more, then they're going to look into it. But the thing is then Nia Jax comes out. And throws shade at what Triple H has been saying. And it's like, this girl is either not smart or has no fear. I'm not sure which one it is. But she.
Well, there was also a tweet from Finn Balor and then a response to that from Dakota Kai that both, like, Balor. I mean, maybe Balor's was more of like a storyline thing, but he replaced Velveteen Dream with a trash bag in the image. And then Dakota Kai quote tweeted it. And it seems like there are plenty of people in that locker room that are also not fans of Patrick Clark right now.
Did you hear the crowds booing him, even though it's all WWE crowd, but they booed when he came out on NXT on Wednesday night?
Well, because they turned him heel to try to save face on the whole thing, whatever. I mean, you can't have people cheering for him right now with this.
Yeah, but to me, the whole thing really feels cringeworthy, and I think it's the one thing, really, that I have to say I'm not really behind on with Triple H. Right now, it kind of really feels like they just kind of surpassed the whole thing and are trying to almost ignore it. And the whole investigation thing feels like they're just bypassing the whole situation because they want their guy on TV. And it's one of those things where it just feels really awkward seeing him on my TV screen.
Well,
and I don't know what to think.
Did he need to win that match on Wednesday night? Like, I feel like they didn't need to bring him back yet, but then, like, to have him win and get into, like, the timing is just, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
As far as the booking of having Dream win the match, I think it was more so to set up Balor and Thatcher more than really rewarding Dream with a victory, because I think there's no chance he wins that match. I can't say no chance, but I don't think he really needs to have a title on him right now.
That would be an even dumber decision.
Even accusations aside, honestly, I think he wouldn't need a title at this point. So I hope they don't make that bogus decision to do so.
And I don't think they will, because I think that they're getting a lot of flack back from what just having him back. The one thing that interesting that Triple H said was when the speaking out hashtag, when Patrick Clark got in trouble, he disappeared off TV for about a month. And then Triple H said the reason that happened is because he was in a car accident. And, you know, and so, and they didn't want, you know, he wasn't okay to come back. And so there's a lot of mystery going on. He was added to this match. He's part of the five guys there for the NXT North American Championship. And, you know, Johnny Gargano was supposedly hurt last week as well. Cameron Grimes is getting a huge push.
That was nasty. That super.
Yeah, that Gargano bump was terrible.
Yeah.
Holy crap, that was disgusting. I'm kind of surprised they kept that in there on TV, but obviously, I mean, we saw the replay a couple times. But that was nasty.
Yeah.
He's very lucky that he's apparently okay.
Definitely. And then, of course, Bronson Reed and Damian Priest are also in there. Damian Priest was the guy we all thought was going to get the huge push, and maybe he'll walk away with the title. Gargano looking to be the first man to hold it twice. But that's a good match. I mean, there's a few good matches. I think Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Karrion Kross is all character so far. We're seeing him destroy some, lesser talent, but we're not seeing him, really him up against, the main guys. So he'll be going up against Keith Lee.
Ciampa.
Yeah, he did beat Ciampa. But that was, I don't know. Ciampa, man, I don't know about that. I still question, that whole thing going on with Ciampa there. Where's Ciampa disappeared to?
Retribution.
Don't say that. Yeah, he might be Retribution. Who knows? But we got that in the main event. I don't think it's going to be a one and doneer though with Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross. Io Shirai, Dakota Kai. That's one I'm not really that interested in, to be honest with you. Finn Balor, Timothy.
To be honest, that's the only one I actually think I am interested
really,
in.
Really?
Just, I've been a Dakota Kai fan since her Evie days and Shimmer and stuff. And I don't think she's going to take the title or whatever, but that's probably the one I'm looking forward to the most, to be honest.
Yeah, and of course, the Finn Balor and Timothy Thatcher were added after what happened on NXT this past week. I kind of like where they're going with Thatcher. I like the character. I mean, he looked like he was a guy just going to put people over when he first showed up, and now he's getting put over, Kind of like Cameron Grimes. I mean, he has a win over Finn Balor.
There's one thing that I want to see out of Saturday, and I know I said it in our text thread, is I really hope Cameron Grimes comes away with the North American title.
Yeah, well, we will see that. But let's also talk a little bit. This will be the first on SmackDown on Friday. We've got the Thunderdome. Now, no surprise to any of you probably by now, but this show has been recorded in advance, so we did not see the Thunderdome yet.
Hey, babe.
Danger Boy, Thunderdome looks like what? Thunderdome?
it's different. It's kind of almost what the NBA is doing right now with the virtual fans, with the big screen. It's interesting. We're taping on Thursday. They just released videos. They were keeping it real close and secret. I expect them to go all out on SmackDown. I expect the people, when they hear this, will have seen a show full of pyro and visually stimulating things to get this gimmick over. And then I think on Monday, I heard this someplace else and I thought the same thing immediately. If they really want to get this over, the first thing they should show is Roman Reigns opening that show, punching a censor and having a whole bunch of pyro go off. Like, actually being there, though.
Well, there's been rumors about Roman Reigns, and I wouldn't be surprised if this is where he does come back. A lot of people said, is he going to be head of Retribution or whatever? He's going to have something to do. But the Thunderdome, I actually signed up. They had, if you go to Thunderdome, WWEThunderdome.com, they have a thing you can sign up for. And when they sign it up, you have to be available to them on your camera, and they're going to make you part of the fans during the show. So today, for like a couple hours, they were recording fans reacting. And they're going to use them during the shows this weekend as well as, the Thunderdome is going to be used for the next few weeks in Orlando, all the Orlando shows. And Orlando's got quite a few. I mean, we're talking through, they said through October that they're going to be doing
shows. At least through October, probably through the end of the year.
Yeah, so they have these opportunities where they open up, they give you a, if you go to WWEThunderdome.com, you can sign up. I signed up today, and I didn't sign up in time, and I got put out. But they said there's going to be more opportunities for fans to do that. They're going to get your reaction while the show's going on. So I think they want you to point a camera while the show's going on, as well as they were getting some shots today for just background fan shots and stuff. But they have all these.
They had matches today. They had a few like preliminary type matches that they were testing it out to show everybody how it was going to work.
Cool. Well, you should read the rules. I should have printed them up and brought them with me, because they're like, you can't take your clothes off at all from the beginning to the end of the shoot. There are all these rules about, you can't be smoking anything. There's all these, it's really pretty cool, but it's like, I wanted to do it. I just didn't understand what I was getting into. So if anybody is listening, got into it, please message us on the Facebook. I'm curious. And I guess we'll find out what it looks like on SmackDown. SmackDown on Friday. But, you know, this is their big, you know, we're not going to be in the Performance Center. You're not going to have to worry about the giant fan. Cause did you guys watch, look for it this week after we talked about it?
You notice it a lot. I mean, but it's it doesn't bother me that much. I think this Thunderdome, like, it can't get worse than the Performance Center. I just hope that, like, I know they're trying to go over the top. I'm just like, let's not get to the point where we have an LED canvas and LED ropes and, like, virtual wrestlers and stuff. Like, there is a point of too much overboard, I feel like, and we're getting close to it.
Well, if there's one thing, it's definitely a lot more well lit than before.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. And then it's actually in an arena. And an interesting thing, too, is still no crowd. So, except for probably the Performance Center kids who are always showing up. Maybe a few ninjas and some Retribution will be in the crowd as well. You know, we're going to get a little bit of everything. But NXT, of course, you know, 5 matches. Why don't we go to break on that? We'll come back and we will talk about SummerSlam, because that, of course, is the crown jewel this weekend, I guess you would call it. I'm not going to call it crown jewel because that was another named thing that was a disaster anyways. But I am the Cashman. I'm here with the Artiste Danger Boy and Furby, and we'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. I'm the Cash Man with Furby, Danger Boy, and the Artiste, and you. And we are talking the world of pro wrestling. We think we've been doing it for almost 22 years. We're approaching our 22nd year, which is, you know, pretty remarkable. You know, not a lot of things go that long. You know, I have a friend of mine once tell me anything beyond 2 years, nothing's ever lasted that long. So it's like, well, this is 22 years. So we are rocking and rolling, and we're going to talk a little SummerSlam. SummerSlam, of course, coming up. And, you know, I will say a lot of people this past Monday Night Raw, a lot of people said that was like the biggest garbage show they've seen from WWE in quite a long time. Just, it really was misdirected, non-focused. I really don't like them stepping away at the 10 o'clock hour to the ring without the poles or the ropes and have people beating each other up. Though we did get to see Brandi, right? Right, Ferbs? You see her on? Yeah, she was.
Yes, Brandi Lauren was on. And actually, Colby Carino, Steve Carino's son, was on in Underground. But going back to Brandi, she was tapped out by Marina Shafir.
Yeah.
I may see her this weekend in Atlantic City. So
that's right. You're good. Well, you know, you're missing it. It's a good weekend for wrestling, but that's only on WWE Network, you know. But you'll see it, good stuff. That's right. I forgot. You're going out to, was it GCW? Yeah. Is that what it is? No.
Yep. It'll be GCW Saturday, 5 o'clock at the Atlantic Pier, Garden Pier Sandlot for Tournament of Survival, the 5th edition. Good eight-man tournament. And A.R. Fox is actually scheduled to be there in a non-tournament match. It's a six-way scramble. Then Sunday at 1 o'clock at the pier, Beyond Wrestling is going to have an event called Wear Sunscreen. So that'll be interesting. And then to follow that, GCW's got another show, Jimmy Lloyd's Jersey Shore at 5 p.m. That'll be another GCW event. So weekend full of wrestling. I'm very excited. The last show that I was last weekend that I was in Atlantic City, it's a heck of an event. It's just a bunch of fun, great shows, and I love to support the companies, and we're all staying safe with our masks.
Yeah, that's right, and it's nice when you get to do an outside match to our outside paper or show at least. So that's pretty cool too. So let's talk a little bit about SummerSlam. I know we kind of got off on a tangent there, but I knew I wanted to mention that before you got out of here. But SummerSlam, now I've heard a lot of rumors that something big and company direction is going to happen during this pay-per-view. Now, could it be Roman Reigns, you know, or could it be, you know, I hear a lot of things that aren't going to be settled between Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton in the main event of the pay-per-view for the WWE Championship. There's some good matches. Braun Strowman versus The Fiend again. I mean, I don't know what to take with that. I think Alexa Bliss will be back absorbed into it and whatnot. I do like, you know what, I'm thinking there's a chance Asuka is going to walk off with two heavyweight titles on this pay-per-view, which then will start a split with her and Shayna Baszler, as well as a split between Sasha Banks and Bayley, which we've been, you know, waiting for about 3 years for about that.
See, I think that's going a different way.
Okay, cool.
I think Bayley's retaining and Sasha's losing her belt. Sasha helps Bayley retain. Bayley doesn't help Sasha, and that's going to start the seeds.
Okay.
One way or another, it's got to lead into yet another pay-per-view in a week, right?
Yeah. Was it back?
Or Baszler and Asuka walk off with the tag titles.
But, like, do we need three WWE pay-per-view type things in a 9-day period? Come on.
That's too much. True.
That's been one of my issues for a while, is they're kind of flooding the market with way too many pay-per-view style shows, and it kind of waters down the product. But,
well, yeah.
I mean, no surprise. I'm going to be honest. The only thing I care about this weekend is Saturday Night Dynamite. I'm going to watch Summit Takeover. I'm sure I'll watch SummerSlam, but this card doesn't interest me at all for SummerSlam. I don't care about Strowman and Fiend. I don't know. It's super stale to me.
Yeah, I don't think they built
it. For the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, this could be a lot better when you have all those people under contract.
Well, you know, the funny thing is they pick 3 weeks out from it to give an hour to legitimate fighting on Monday Night Raw, so you lose an hour of buildup on Raw every week from that moment on. You know, that in there's a lot of matches on here. I mean, obviously, I don't want to listen. If you're going to watch a pay-per-view and you don't want me to spoil something for you, turn the radio down for 10 seconds right now. Seth Rollins is supposed to be taking 2-3 months off, and so we kind of have an idea what's going to happen with that match then. Okay, you can turn it back up now. Just saying that.
If they hit it down, they can't hear you tell you turn it back up.
Oh, that's true. Well, they counted to 10, you know, or 10 seconds or whatever. But, yeah, so Seth Rollins, you know, that's not going to be any surprise. I mean, after I heard that, you know, this week or whatever, because what he's going on with his wife or who's pregnant or his girlfriend, he might be his wife now, who knows.
I heard that might not happen until October, though, getting closer to the expected due date in December. So I was thinking maybe we get something more closer, you know, toward the October range where then he goes away.
Yeah, but he's been
I hate to be a broken record with this stuff, but I just want to say that, like, further proof that WWE doesn't care about their pay-per-views. Like, SummerSlam is supposed to be the second biggest show of the entire year. It used to be King of the Ring would set up the start for SummerSlam, and then all anybody cared about was SummerSlam. But what are they doing this week? They're debuting Thunderdome on Friday because they care more about TV. Then you've got NXT on Saturday. Then you finally get to SummerSlam. But, oh, by the way, SummerSlam, we're just going to promote that there's another pay-per-view in a week and all the other TV shows. Like, I just think it's, like, you got to start caring more about the pay-per-views. And I don't think, like, if I was them, like, I understand they care more about television ratings than they do people tuning in on the network for the pay-per-view. But debut the Thunderdome at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Make people have to tune into SummerSlam to see it, because you know a ton of people are tuning into SmackDown to see it for the first time. Yeah. And then that big reveal is done and over with well before you get to SummerSlam.
Well, and I think that may have been the original plan, but they weren't able to tape the SmackDown like they were supposed to because they had COVID positives again that we never hear about, but they only got one taping done when they were supposed to tape two last week.
And not to mention, too, we get another Intercontinental Championship match on a Friday before a pay-per-view weekend. So,
well, you know, the funny thing is poor NXT, they've got to go to Full Sail, so they don't get to play in the Thunderdome. You know, if you look at the dates I put out, every single NXT show is from Full Sail. So the Thunderdome, you know, yeah, I know they're debuting it is 100% for ratings without a doubt. Because back in the day they had ratings, so they didn't have to worry about, you know, they could tease things to get pay-per-view buys. I don't think they know how to do it anymore. I think because there's no pay-per-view buys anymore, or they're very little, I don't think they know how to build up a pay-per-view anymore. I think, you know, you make a great point, Rob, with 1 week later, you know, having another pay-per-view. And so if there is some sort of controversy over the McIntyre-Orton, and it could be settled a week later on another, you know, pay-per-view or live event or whatever they want to call it.
And that controversy will be Shawn Michaels winning the title because he no-sold the punt.
He no-sold the punt. Oh, my goodness.
He did. Everyone else dies from it. McIntyre died from just an RKO, and Shawn Michaels is up in the corner 5 seconds later.
I know. That's the thing. That kind of disturbed me a little bit because everybody else is laying on the ground until the credits roll on the show. Shawn Michaels is kind of like, you know, looking like the dumb Shawn Michaels trying to shake it off in the corner. So it's like, yeah, you know, yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, there's a lot of weirdness in the buildup, you know. I mean, I think, you know, there's been, you know, and I think it's, you know, Ric Flair's not done with this, too. I think he has a lot to do with it because, like we said, the light shut off, turned back on. Retribution will have something to do with what's going on. We also got Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, and one of them's going to come out bald after it.
Both of them will look great bald, too, probably. So.
Yeah, I know. Furby, none of these girls can look bad to you, can they, Furbs? Furbs loves them all, you know?
There's definitely a few. There's definitely a few. I won't name names.
That was my joke when we were texting with each other. I said, if they have a heartbeat, Furbs love, in love, you know?
I don't like all heartbeats.
And that's what I said. That's why I don't want to hear no Katie Vick stuff, you know? All right. So there's no heartbeat there. But, yeah, so there's things that stick out. You know what? Because Sasha and Bayley have been, like, getting the focus of pretty much every show, I'm kind of excited to see Asuka, you know, whatever Asuka's going to do. But, yeah, there's a lot of them this I don't care whatsoever. You know, I mean, obviously, Strowman and Wyatt are going to – is it going to be another, you know, docudrama out in the swamp or – you know, it's just, there's a lot. I don't know, folks, what do you guys think? Let us know on our Facebook page because it's going to be this is a big one, and it's not feeling like it. You know, it's – you know.
I mean, I feel like they have to – like you talk – I don't know how long this retribution, like – is going to go along without like getting to the point or something. But does this turn into something happens at SummerSlam and then Retribution is the number one focus of the Payback pay-per-view? Then at least like there's interest, there's something different as opposed to being like, oh, hey, we're going to do, I don't know, Braun and Fiend again a week later. Who cares?
Yeah. That's a good question. You know,
they got to make it significantly different somehow.
I still think they made a mistake putting the belt on Braun just because he's a guy who needs the crowd. And without a crowd, it's like, you know, then you see his weaknesses. You know, he likes to punch. He likes to punch. He likes to, you know, I mean, he doesn't really do a lot in the ring. Well, but then again, neither does The Fiend, really. So it's like, you know, but The Fiend can wrestle on the ground if he has to. So, you know, it's like, but
at least the Fiend's character has a little bit more intrigue than a man raising his fist and yelling at you. Like to me, Braun Strowman, they missed the mark on Braun Strowman in about 2017 when he was flipping trucks and ambulances over. I mean, after that, he's basically been very meaningless to me. And if they took the opportunity then maybe. But I mean, you know, even Braun said it, I think last Monday or Friday, whatever, he said, oh, the Fiend changes people. Maybe we see a heel Braun Strowman again. And I think that's the way it's going. And I don't know. If Fiend doesn't walk away with the title at SummerSlam, the whole thing's a joke.
Yeah, well, I will say we got one last match I didn't mention, and that's the Street Profits versus Andre and Garza. And obviously, Street Profits getting being drugged a couple weeks ago by Zelina Vega. You know, it all comes out this past week because of all the surveillance videos. But you know what? We still didn't see her do it, to be honest with you. She was right. It was her back. She was showing off her jacket. You know, but that's another thing that we've had a steady dose of on Raw was these two teams. You know, I think we'll get another revolution out of this. I think we'll get a couple segments. We'll have a retribution segment, maybe a couple of them. We'll have Shane McMahon come out. And Shane McMahon, there's some rumors going on right now about him possibly getting the nod to take over the creative of Raw. I don't know how good that is an idea, if it's going to be more like the Fight Club or whatever the heck it is they do, you know, from 10 o'clock on. But, you guys seen that rumor about Shane McMahon taking over for what's his face?
Pritchard. Yeah, Pritchard, yeah, who just took over.
Yeah, Bruce Pritchard. Yeah, well, Bruce Pritchard apparently is overworked big time. Yeah, doing two shows.
I can tell why.
You have to figure something out and stick with it. If they switch to Shane, hopefully they stick with Shane for a while, and let. I mean, I, to be honest, it kind of feels to me a little bit like, you know, in pro sports when a team just goes from coach to coach to coach or GM to GM to GM. Like, you have to have time to build something. You can't literally just change everything overnight when you're building storylines on a 6-month build-up basis, whatever, things like that. Whoever it is has got to have a full opportunity to do it. I'm not saying Pritchard is or is not the guy. I don't know if Shane is either, but whoever it is, like, they got to figure something out and stick with a plan, I think. Yeah, you have to be able to adapt, but you also can't just keep changing every month.
Well, I know, and I mean, they base it on the numbers they see in ratings, when in reality, sometimes it takes a while to build up something good, you know? I mean, how long did it take The Fiend to finally, you know, everyone was loving The Fiend as it was built up, and now it's kind of been pushed to the side. But, you know, Heyman's ideas that were thrown out after, you know, they got rid of him. If you keep, you know, going 4 months and then erasing everything done and trying a different angle, you really, you know, it's not a natural growth for any character or anything going on. Steve Austin's the first one to say that, too. So, you know what? We got a break on that. We're going to break on that, come back. We've got some news that we didn't talk about yet, but it was the national news, and we'll talk about that on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. I am the Cash Man with Furby, Danger Boy, the Artiste. No DC this week, DC being down North Carolina. We got to talk about some news. This is our news segment. And don't take us as being pessimistic, because I think that maybe something good will happen on these pay-per-views, these live events this weekend. And we'll talk about that next weekend with whatever happens. Maybe we'll be blown away. Who knows? But this big thing in the news this past week, and you may have seen it, it was all over the place, was Sonya Deville had a stalker stalking her, and to the point where the guy showed up and broke into her apartment and was going to kill her or at least kidnap her or something, you know. He had lots of things with him, like he was an armed kidnapper. And he was going to kidnap her. He's been planning it for 8 months. His name was Philip A. Thomas. He was 24 from South Carolina. Looks a little bit like Furby. No, I'm kidding. You don't look like Furby. maybe a little bit. Serious. No, I'm kidding.
Nice knowing you guys.
No, I'm kidding. You know, plus, you know, but you, please give us the bailout money when you get it, okay?
start me a GoFundMe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what do you, didn't that blow your mind? I mean, listen, Sonya Deville is a gorgeous woman, okay? And she's been with Mandy, Mandy in this whole angle. Well, someone's going to lose their hair. But that's scary. That's real life, you know? And that's someone who like, apparently was a huge Twitter followers of hers. And you can go back and read some of the tweets he had sent to her. Thoughts on that, Ferbs?
A very creepy, scary, especially with everything that's been going on in this world, and especially, you know, in the wrestling scene, you know, going back the last couple of months, the whole speaking out movement. I know this is more fan related and very serious note. You know, it just really makes you kind of appreciate your life. You know, who knows how serious this could have been, but you know, WWE came out this week and instituted a no touching policy now for fans and stuff. Like, first of all, I don't know why it was really ever permitted to begin with. Like, obviously, like a handshake's cool or a hug if they allow it. But I mean, I've seen some weird photos where some dudes were like caressing some of the females in their photos. And it's like, why is that allowed? Like, you have to not only respect the talent, but respect yourself, too, because once a photo is out there, a photo is out there. But going back to this whole situation, it's like that guy is messed up. And I'm glad that Sonya's fine. You know, nothing bad happened, but it could have been worse. And just knowing that this could happen to anybody is scary. And you hate to see it.
Oh, I agree.
It's one of those things that it's despicable. It's scary. You know, I think back to 20 years ago when people would, you know, make comments about wrestling fans, whatever. But like, we're in this era of social media and stuff that now it's, you see some of the stuff, some of the tweets that talent get online, things like that. And there are people who just not only cross the line, but I mean, this is just insane. So, I mean, luckily she was able to spot him, get out of there, everything. But I don't know. That's just, it's unbelievable. And I don't know. It's maybe the problem is there's so much of this nonsense on like Twitter that like this guy tweets all the time and it's just like, oh, it's just another guy like tweeting, like, gotta take this stuff seriously, because I mean, he's showing up with zip ties and all this stuff, like,
right. And it's said that it's become almost so normal that we almost kind of let it fly under the radar, because there's so many despicable and creepy people doing this, like, it's really awful.
And that's why I like when you see, like, on Twitter, somebody like Jordan Grace, for example, who calls out the creepy DMs that she gets and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, people got to be put on blast for this stuff. We are in an era in the world, and specifically in the United States of America, where people are speaking their minds more than ever before. They're more comfortable doing things and stuff. This is not acceptable whatsoever. So I hope that, you know, I hope wrestlers who get creepy stalker messages and stuff call these idiots out, because this could have been a lot worse. Luckily it wasn't.
And it makes a lot of good wrestling fans look bad. It puts a bad name, or a bad, you know, it gives us a bad outlook when it's like, you know, it just hurts. It hurts me really inside, because it's like, no, I'm not one of those creepy weirdo wrestling fans. No. I'm a real human being. I seem to be pretty normal, I think. But it kind of gives us a bad look, just like any other certain stigma, I guess. But
yeah,
you know, glad it's not anything worse than what it was. Let's just hope this gets cut.
Let me, the last word on this is that actually Sonya and a female friend were home when this happened, and they got out, and that's when the police caught him inside her house. So he had cut her screen, and he had got into her house. So they are safe and everything, and this guy will go, you know, up to the clink and spend some time hanging out with his buddies and behind some bars, and you know, it's good for, you know, good, maybe he'll get some help too, because it sounds like he needs some. So some other real quick pieces of news. Marcus Buff Bagwell had gotten in a serious car accident last Sunday. Friend of the show, I would think, possibly, you know, we did get to hang out with him a little bit.
He doesn't remember that.
I'm sure he doesn't. He was pretty cool, though.
Stories, but yeah.
We're on the radio. Don't touch his fanny pack, okay? That's all I know. So we sent our best out to him. Also, we had a passing this past week. Xavier, the second Ring of Honor champion, passed away at the age of 43 this past week. Not really sure about the details of that, but sorry for him.
I'm so excited. He was supposed to get back in the ring at that Ring of Honor show in March that got canceled right after the pandemic started. I was so excited to see him back.
Yeah.
He's supposed to wrestle Jay Lethal in Vegas, and it's a shame we didn't get that match. It's so young.
It's a bummer, yeah. So some other news. Looks like former UFC heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier might be coming over to the WWE. He's always talked about it in the past. He's a fan. I think he would be a great commentator if they wanted to do that. If he wants to wrestle, that he could do that as well. You know, he's looking forward to it. He said, I mean, he's looking forward to doing anything with them, he said. And don't be surprised if he's a surprise entrance in the Royal Rumble next year, because that's what the one thing is going around.
Listen, does he know what Seth Rollins is doing to people's eyes with what he just suffered this past week?
Yeah, he got his finger stuck in his eye. It was pretty nasty looking. And eventually,
so he's used to it.
Yeah,
he's used to it already.
He couldn't see, that's for sure. And that's probably why he lost the fight, because he was fighting pretty well before then. But, you know, that being said, big news from AEW, maybe this is the last piece of news we can get in. They're going to be giving limited tickets to crowds for 10 to 15% capacity for its live shows at near the end, Thursday, August 27th. So they may be the first wrestling we see with a crowd on TV. Now, they've had people in the show before, but you have to see them way back in the in Jacksonville, Florida. And
they're going to be way back for this, too, because they're starting. It's this Thursday. They start with it live with 10%. There's nobody in. There's no fans on the floor, and there's no fans in the 100 level. But I mean, I guess that's the benefit of owning your own outdoor venue. So if there's anything that can work, it's that more than anything else. And I guess we'll see how it goes. And hopefully the fans, respect each other and stay safe.
I hope so, too, because, I mean, they're also talking there's a football team that wants to bring in – oh, Kansas City wants to bring in, what, 22% capacity for their home opener. And so, people are starting to look at the ways to do this, and if they can do it, great. You know, our gyms are opening Monday, you know, so there's some good things happening, you know, but, you know, please be safe still. And we are living in a COVID-19 world. But, guys, we're about done here. I want to thank you guys for – once again coming and saving me, because I'm not a great host. I can just talk a lot about nothing. But guys, I hope you have a safe week. Anything special going on this week for any of you guys, or are you still just like hunkering down in the bunker?
Well, I'll be in Atlantic City. Except for Furby. I'll give you guys some updates.
Yeah, Furby.
Hoping for a Brody Lee win tonight.
Gotcha. It is Saturday that you're hearing this, so cool. Yeah, I'm hoping for a Brody Lee with you. We got Brody and Cody in the main event of Saturday Night Dynamite. I love how that rhymes, you know, a bunch of rhymings. But thank you guys for doing this, and we'll you know what, give us a call next weekend. We will be back, and we're going to talk all about the results of pay-per-views and what's going on in the world of wrestling. We'll see you next week, folks.